You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The government yesterday announced its first emissions reduction plan to meet our climate goals. It targets transport emissions, agriculture emissions, and more sustainable energy. The plan will cost $2.9 billion over the next 4 years to reduce Aotearoa's emissions. But is it enough? We spoke to three experts. Here is Robert McLaughlin from Massey University School of Mathematical and Computational Sciences.
Well, it's a good start, and the amazing and important thing is that we've actually reached this point after so much wrangling around and arguing about all sorts of things. So, it's really significant that it exists, and it will go a long way towards meeting the targets, but the targets themselves are not strict enough, and that's what the climate activists are saying, like in various court cases that are going on at the moment. So we have these carbon budgets, but particularly the first one, out to 2025, it hardly requires any cuts at all. So it's particularly easy to meet that first one.
Previously, you've criticised some sectors for not doing enough at all. Do the changes that are kind of outlined in the new plan enough to rectify that and meet our carbon budgets by the time we've set out?
Yeah, it's a big change in direction, because this is really the first time that serious money is being put into directly reducing emissions. So take one of the controversial ones, which is that industry is going to get direct money, I forget how much, $650 million maybe, to decarbonise food processing plants like the milk powder plants and by Fonterra. So it's possible that the industry and the government, they've kind of been in a Mexican standoff on this one, because the government says we have to reduce emissions, but the companies say, we're just not going to do it. It's too expensive and, you're going to make me sort of thing. So now the government's going to give them some money to help to encourage them to do it. So that's a big, big shift. And that could work if it gives the government more leverage and gets the industry starting on that transition journey, then that's a good thing.
Right. Are there any areas in this plan where you think the government hasn't gone far enough or set an ambitious enough goal?
Well, there's lots of them, because there's so many things that need to be done. So it's really that they're signalling a completely new direction. Doesn't really go far enough, because the entire transport budget for the whole country really has to be overhauled to be compatible with the zero fossil fuel future that we're going towards. But they're starting on their journey. So, for example, for the first time, they've said that driving has to reduce. And every councillor is going to have to show a plan how they're going to reduce driving. And they might not get so much transport funding if they don't deliver on that. And new motorways are going to have to be assessed for their implications on emissions. So those are pretty significant.
And things like public transport subsidies are also being proposed in this plan. I guess it's kind of a matter of seeing if people take that up.
Yeah, so they didn't say that they're going to make the 50% off public transport permanent, which some people were hoping they would, but they did say they would look at various ways of making public transport cheaper. So that might include making it much cheaper for young people or low-income people or something like that. I think the 50% off thing was brilliant, and it's working really well, and it's quite a cheap policy, so something along those lines would be great. I'm in Palmerston North, and we've had free bus travel for tertiary students for years, decades. It's brilliant.
We also spoke with Professor Simon Kingham from the University of Canterbury.
Do you think that the plan does enough to address emissions created by transport?
I think it's a good start. I think some people would say it doesn't go far enough, but equally some people say it's too hard. But I think that's probably not a bad place to be. So it's certainly a good start, and it's a good start to go in the right direction. In many ways, what we're trying to deal with is we're turning a ship round. We've invested heavily in making it very easy for people to drive, building roads, etc. And we're now having to go in a slightly different direction. So I think it's a good start.
Is the government doing enough to get Kiwis out of their cars and onto bikes and public transport?
I think it's started over the last few years. So we've started investing more heavily in walking and cycling and public transport, but we need to continue that now. So what in essence we've done is we've made it very easy to drive. We invested heavily in road building. And so many people don't have a choice. So if I said to, many of your listeners will be listening going, I don't have a choice. There is no public transport. It's not safe to cycle. And so what we need to do is we need to invest in a good public transport system that meets the needs of lots of people, and we need to make it safe to cycle so that people feel it's safe, and that means investing in cycle infrastructure. And if you do that, then people have choices. And if people have choices, we know from international evidence and research that if you give people a choice, they often choose not to drive. And at the moment, many people would say, I don't have a choice. And what the government's trying to do here is change that, give people choices. And to do that, you have to invest in the alternative.
And finally, here is John Bunnell, a modeller at GNS Science. From a sustainable energy perspective, is this enough to achieve Aotearoa's climate goals?
It's a good first start. We have a goal of net zero by 2050, and these initiatives by the government are looking for the next period out to 2035. In the past, we've set some targets of reducing our emissions and increasing our use of renewable energy, but we haven't really made a lot of progress towards achieving those. So we really need to try to kickstart that over the coming years. So this is a good start. It remains to be seen whether or not we can achieve the targets that we've set. It is going to be difficult. It's potentially going to mean that we have to have some lifestyle changes and behavioural changes, but the government is putting some funds in to help facilitate all that.
It is, however, only the first step in reducing emissions from New Zealand. In the wake of a climate emergency, is it a case of too little too late?
In terms of what New Zealand's emissions reduction will mean, is that it's relatively small on a global scale. So what the impact will be worldwide is probably relatively minor. However, we do need to play our part, and so we need to get started. I think we need to be realistic, because if we set too ambitious targets, we'll find that they're either too challenging and we make no progress towards them. So I think setting some realistic targets that can be achieved but will have relatively smaller impacts on the population is probably the better way to go.
Your expertise is in geothermal energy. Does this plan focus enough on geothermal energy?
There's not a lot of specifics around geothermal energy within the plan. However, one important component of the plan is the target of 50% renewable energy by 2035. So currently we're running at about 40% renewable energy in our system. And so we're looking to grow that share of renewable energy by about 25%. And so we're going to need a number of different types of energy sources in that mix. Wind and solar will play a key role, but wind and solar bring challenges of their own around intermittency. So there will be periods where the wind's not blowing or the sun's not shining. Geothermal doesn't suffer from those same issues around the intermittency. It is an always-on source of energy. However, the opportunities to capture that energy are a little bit more limited. That energy is located in a specific region in the centre of New Zealand, and the biggest opportunity is around deeper, hotter geothermal fluids, which currently we haven't drilled into. So there is a little bit of an unknown in there. So it's something that potentially could be really important in our future, but just from the technologies that we have available today, it is more future-looking than something that we can just start doing tomorrow.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.